You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 492.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hello, hello.
You're back. We missed you last week.
Back and better than ever.
You missed a lot of hot Woonsocket, Rhode Island talk last week.
Man, I hate when that happens. I hate when I miss hot Woonsocket talk.
It was riveting, believe me. But now you're back. Back to business as usual here on the Flopcast. And that means, after getting the week off, it's time for National Whatever Day.
My theory, Kevin, is if I'm going to miss a week, I got to come back strong. Do you know who's having a birthday on October 11th?
Of course not.
Weirdly, I thought you might know this one because the celebrity that we're celebrating is turning 75 and still totally dreamy on October 11th. I am talking about Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates.
Oh, that's a good one. Sure.
Hall & Oates. It would be easy enough to merely mention how we, Kevin, you and I, were once in the same hotel as Hall & Oates in Chicago.
Yeah, Daryl Hall has a history with you and me and the Flopcast.
It's very true.
We had an altercation.
Would you go that? Yeah, I guess you would go that far.
That might be overstating it. By having an altercation, I mean we watched him walk across a hotel lobby.
We did.
I kind of exchanged a nod with Daryl from across the lobby. You know, we did the nod.
I mean, we could pretty much stop there because...
It's still the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Sure. Right.
It's the greatest thing that ever happened. And how can you top that? But I feel like whatever day status for a birthday warrants a deeper dive. And I will tell you, Kevin, I went down a Daryl Hall rabbit hole for this segment.
A Hall hole.
That is really hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of half choking on my iced coffee right now. Well, what have you learned about the great Daryl Hall?
I think I was vaguely aware of one of his solo albums, but he has five. And man, they have some range.
I only know one Daryl Hall solo album. That was Three Hearts in the Happy Ending Machine from the mid-80s with his hit single Dreamtime.
Yes, from 1986. But did you know that he also has a prog rock album?
I had no idea there's a Daryl Hall. I'm afraid to leave the room now. I'm kind of strangely terrified by the idea of Daryl Hall prog rock.
Yeah, prog rock is not something I would have associated with Daryl Hall, but it's out there. It's a project of his with Robert Fripp from 1980 called Sacred Songs.
1980?
Yes.
All right.
And please don't tell me you knew about this all along, because I was today years old when I found this out. Since 2007, he's had this streaming series called Live from Daryl's House. Now, did you know about this?
Yes, I knew about this.
No, say no that you didn't know about this, because I'm so upset that I didn't know about this.
Everybody knew except Cornflake. Yeah, he has guest musicians and they all play together in his big studio thing and then they make a show out of it.
Yeah, it's not just Daryl and his band and various special guests performing music. Usually there's a segment in the program where Daryl Hall and his guests prepare cuisine guided by professional chefs from nearby.
I didn't know there was a cooking segment.
There's a cooking segment.
I haven't seen that part.
It's crazy. Originally, the show was hosted in his home in Millertown, New York, and more recent episodes are filmed at his club. Kevin, did you know Daryl Hall has a club?
I mean, I guess I assumed.
I didn't know about this. It's in Pawling, New York. I could drive to that. I've driven to New York for things before. I would totally drive to the Daryl Hall Club.
You've driven to New York for way stupider reasons than visiting Daryl Hall's club. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the guests he's had, shall we?
Sure. Wang Chung?
I did not see Wang Chung on the list.
What if he just had Wang Chung on every week? I'd be okay with that. They're probably too big for his show. But who else has he had on?
Sammy Hagar.
Yep.
Katie Tunstall, the Bacon Brothers. Diane Birch.
Diane Birch. I love Diane Birch.
Yeah, she was on one of the episodes.
Oh, see, I got to look that one up.
There was an episode with both Maxie Priest and Billy Ocean. Fits in the Tantrums, Guster, Grace Potter, personal favorite of mine, Brett Denon. Ben Folds has been on there with him. The OJs, like the Love Train guys, the OJs sure. have been on with him. Kenny Loggins. And of course, John Oates has been on there a couple of times over. But the episode that I checked out today, Smokey Robinson.
I mean, Daryl must have been going out of his mind. Like, that's his hero. You know, those guys were so clearly steeped in the old Motown soul stuff.
They also make Mediterranean cuisine together.
Smokey's cooking?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a scene.
So further down the rabbit hole we go to home renovation and restoration, just like Bronson Pinchot.
He's doing home renovation too?
Yeah, for his part, man. Paul purchases and restores historic houses in both the US and the UK.
I mean, we can barely produce a half-hour podcast once a week.
This man never stops.
How is Hall doing all this? They're on tour right now. I know ESO director Mike Faber just saw Hall and Oates in concert. They're on tour with Squeeze is opening for them.
That's really good.
See, that's a show.
That is. Happy birthday, Daryl Hall.
We are certainly fans around here. Well, Cornflake, you've never been to a Hall and Oates show, but did I hear this right? You've actually been to a concert that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I rounded out my summer, actually, attending the very first concert I've been to since the pandemic shut everything down.
So we've each been to one concert now.
But I almost wouldn't have gone to this one, save for the fact that it was an outdoor show. So I masked up and I headed down to Boston to meet up with my dear friend Santina, who invited me to the show at the Liederbank Pavilion. The pavilion with the rotating names that everybody just knows is Harbor Lights, right?
That's what they're calling Harbor Lights these days? I've never heard that name before.
The Liederbank Pavilion? That's the name du jour.
Wow. Yeah, that place changes their name once or twice a year.
And I went to see Lindsey Stirling. Now, I will admit, prior to being invited by my friend to go see Lindsey Stirling, I really didn't know who she was.
Yeah, I never heard this name until you mentioned it to me a couple of weeks ago.
And yet, though you and I were not familiar with her work, I am sure there are some who know of her from when she was on America's Got Talent. So she didn't come out of nowhere.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen that show. Was she headlining Harbor Lights?
Yes.
Wow, so that's a big venue.
Yes.
So she must be very popular, even though we never heard of her.
Yeah, she is. And yet I did not know who this violin playing ballerina was.
Right. She dances and plays the violin. That much I know. I watched the video today to prepare.
Oh, okay. So you got a chance to see what she's about.
Yeah. I've seen like 2 minutes of Lindsey Stirling.
The music, you could say, is very lively and violin-centric for sure. Some people even say that she's violin dubstep. It's kind of hard to classify her. I was fully unprepared for all of the choreography and aerial acrobats that were a part of the stage show, Kevin. Hmm. In fact, at least once during the show, Lindsey was blindfolded and suspended upside down while playing her violin, which is not something you see every day.
Yeah, let's see Wang Chung try that.
No kidding.
You know?
We've been under a rock, Kevin, to have missed out. She's a ball of energy and I loved her.
Nice. You went to a concert and it sounds like it was weird. So that's good.
It was. It was delightfully weird. I loved it. It was unlike anything I've ever seen.
All right. Good to hear. It's very rare that I see someone playing a violin, you know, because I'm not very cultured. Ed's Redeeming Qualities, that old goofy folk band, they had a violin, of course. But yeah, very rarely do you see me and a violin in the same room.
Yeah, I guess I go to a lot more violin played shows than you do.
Yeah, you go to more of those like hillbilly kind of dancing around on the front porch with a fiddle.
Yeah, that sounds like my idea of a good time.
Overalls, no shoes, the big hat, and a fiddle, right? That's your dream concert.
That sounds like a good time. And some moonshine.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Big bottle of shine.
Now that has cornflake written all over it.
Sounds good. All right. Well, welcome back to the frightening world of live music. We may have a couple more concert reports before the year is out. I've got some things coming up that I may actually go to. Meanwhile, we're here and, well, you know, it's Halloween season now, right? We're into October.
That we are.
And I got a thing here, which is seasonally appropriate. Remember, Cornflake, several years ago on the Flopcast, we had a monster cereal taste test.
I still remember the taste of Fruit Brute on my tongue.
It was you and me and the mayor, and that was the year, because the monster cereals every year, it's Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and Booberry.
Right.
Those are the big three. A few years ago, they brought back Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy, which had been discontinued many years ago. So there was one magic year where they had all five monster cereals were available. And we tried them all live right here on the Flopcast.
Everyone could hear us crunching.
A lot of crunching on that episode. Yeah. Yeah. The FCC had to step in and put a stop to the whole thing. A lot of major violations occurred. Anyway, I've just been a fan of these characters for so long, you know, all the old commercials and, you know, I love goofy monster cartoons and stuff. And here you've got the classic monster characters on their goofy cereal. I don't eat this stuff anymore because it's made of pigs and cows.
Right.
The marshmallows.
The marshmallows are made of meat.
Those chalky, dry marshmallows in monster cereal, for some reason, they have to use gelatin to make them.
Yeah, I don't understand that. It seems like that could be made of other things if they really thought about it.
I've sent so many angry letters to Frankenberry, personally. I address every angry letter to Frankenberry.
Specifically?
He never writes back. Yes, specifically. I'm trying to work this out with a pink cartoon strawberry Frankenstein dude.
Angry Frankenberry fan mail.
And I'm getting nowhere. Anyway, big news this year, Cornflake, in the world of monster cereal. This year, 2021, is the 50th anniversary of the monster cereals.
Oh.
Started in 1971, Count Chocula and Frankenberry debuted. Booberry came out the following year. 1974 was Fruit Brute. And then way late to the party was the Yummy Mummy did not show up until 1988.
I remember that.
Yeah, and was only around for like 4 years or so.
Yeah, lots of things from the late 80s didn't last.
Well, Cornflake, to celebrate the 50th anniversary, this year they released a special monster cereal called Monster Mash.
Tell me that it is every bit as glorious as it sounds like it is.
It's everybody together. All five monsters are in one cereal now.
Wow.
They got the band back together. And I mean, they literally got the band back together. They're playing instruments. They're a rock band now on the box.
I don't need to eat the cereal, but I do need to hear the band.
I've got the box right here. You can hear the box. There you go. That's some actual Monster Mash cereal that you're hearing, because the mayor of Chickentown found a box of Monster Mash.
They've never sounded better, Kevin.
Presented it to me. But yeah, all the guys are on the front of the box and they're playing in a band together, which I love because it looks like all those old Saturday morning cartoon bands like the Archies and Josie and the Pussycats and the Groovy Ghoulies was an actual cartoon monster band back in the 70s. And everybody had a band on every cartoon back then. Now, so do these guys. And on the front cover, it's Count Chocula's playing the keyboard. Frankenberry's on the bass, I think. Booberry has a guitar. Yummy Mummy's on the tambourine. And Fruit Brute is banging on the drums. You know, I like that the mummy has a tambourine.
I do too.
He's in the Davy Jones position. That's where they stuck Betty in the Archies.
Hey, that's where usually I get stuck.
He's in the Tracy Partridge position. They really went crazy with this. There are videos online. They made like a little behind the music kind of making of video about the band being reunited.
That sounds fun.
It's really funny. You see like people like seriously discussing the monster band getting back together to record again after all these years.
Wow.
And there's like testimonials from other cereal mascots. The Trix Rabbit pops up and Lucky the Leprechaun from Lucky Charms to discuss the monster band. It's pretty ridiculous. And there's a song. They did indeed record and release a song, which is, of course, Monster Mash. There's a cover of Monster Mash by the Monster Cereal guys.
Have you had a chance to hear it? Do they sound anything like the monsters we used to hear in the commercials?
I have heard the song, and yeah, it definitely sounds like these guys. It's not just some, you know, studio hacks just cranking out Monster Mash. It's like some of the lyrics are different, and you can definitely hear the individual monsters from the commercials. So yes, it's really these guys.
Oh, that makes me happy.
But I'm sure it's delicious if you're looking for a freaky gelatin-based monster cereal. I'm sure it's fine. I don't think I'm going to eat this stuff, but I love the box. Do you think it'll be valuable someday if I just keep it sealed up in mint condition forever?
I don't think that the cereal will ever go bad. That stuff is pretty well preserved.
Do you think it'll just be torn apart by rats, mutant, weird monster rats in the future?
I could totally see that happening. Thank you for that visual.
If I just leave this box of cereal sitting around the studio forever, it might be a problem. Anyway, it's a beautiful box of cereal. And obviously we love these guys and we like goofy cartoon monsters. So good job, General Mills, celebrating Halloween this year with the monster cereals. So I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that. Check your local supermarket, kids.
See if they get themselves some mash.
Grab a box of Monster Mash. Why not?
Even if you're like Kevin and you're not going to eat it.
Even if you're not going to eat it, just buy a box and stare at it like a freak. Nobody celebrates Halloween like we do.
You can say that again.
Yeah. No one's as pathetic as me. Well. Oh, I got a little chickens in the news for you. Want to do some chickens in the news?
Wow. Yes. Bring it.
And now, the Flopcast presents Chickens in the News.
All right, this isn't much of anything, but I just happened to put on HBO the other day, and there's a new Clint Eastwood movie. It's in theaters, but then it's also on HBO.
Okay.
And he's a million years old. I didn't realize he was still making movies, but he's still making movies.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised to hear that myself.
Clint Eastwood is 90, 91.
He's somewhere up there.
92. He's in his early 90s. And just put out a movie, which he directed and stars in. The name of the movie is Cry Macho. And it's sort of a Western. You know, he made lots of Westerns over the years, of course, all his old his old cowboy movies, his old spaghetti Westerns.
Right. True to form.
Back in the 60s, 70s. Oh, even up into the 90s, he did Unforgiven. So this is another Western, but sort of a modern Western. It's set in the 80s or so, I think. He's this old guy that goes down to Mexico to find a kid. He's supposed to bring this kid back up to America to reunite with his father, something like that. Teenage kid. Who cares? The main thing is, Cornflake, the kid. He finds the kid, and the kid has a pet chicken.
Nice.
The name of the movie is Cry Macho. Macho is the name of the chicken.
Chicken's name is Macho.
So this is really the title character of the movie, is a chicken.
Whoa.
I mean, Clint Eastwood's gone kind of goofy. Isn't he? He's a right-wing nut, I think, and he's kind of crazy.
The last I remember of him was him talking to an empty chair on stage.
Right.
So I'm surprised this whole movie thing has come together. And I'm surprised that there is a chicken named Macho in it. This is all, I expected none of this.
Yeah, he's co-starring with a chicken. And I watched the whole thing. It's pretty good. He made a good chicken movie.
He did.
Yes, nice job. But this chicken is really one of the stars of the movie. The chicken is through the whole movie. They're traveling around. It's kind of a road picture, the kid with Clint Eastwood. But there's three of them because the chicken is with them every step of the way. They go into restaurants and the chicken will just sit at the booth with them.
Wow.
Rides around in the car with them.
Chicken's living large.
It's crazy. And then I was thinking back because I've seen a lot of Clint Eastwood movies. Not all of them. I'm not a huge Clint Eastwood fan, but I've seen a bunch of them. And he's had some fine co-stars over the years. You know, going back to those old Westerns, the spaghetti Westerns of the 60s, you know, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and all those. And Lee Van Cleef would be the co-star with him. And I love Lee Van Cleef. He was the Master in the 80s. My favorite ninja series, The Master, that guy. And, Morgan Freeman he worked with in Unforgiven. He did a boxing movie with Hilary Swank sometime back, maybe 15, 20 years ago.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, because, you know, she's the next Karate Kid, but then she also made a boxing movie with Clint Eastwood. But now, chicken. He's working with a chicken.
Well, he can't have co-starred with a chicken any sooner because there's just nowhere to go from there.
This is it.
It's like he saved the best for last.
Do you think he felt like, I've got one more movie in me? There's something I've been meaning to do.
Yes, that is exactly how I imagine it happened. I've been saving this pro move to the end, and it is chicken time.
It's been a magnificent career. What a way to cap it.
And I can't think of anything else to do but to applaud that, Kevin.
Yeah.
You want your swan song to really be a chicken song if you have your choice.
I agree. So just want to make sure people were aware of that. If you're looking for a Clint Eastwood chicken movie, oh, it's out there. There you go. It's called Cry Macho. It's Clint and a chicken. That is Chickens in the News. I guess that'll do it for this week. What a goofy little show this has been.
I love how this show turned out. The Flopcast has some serious chops when it comes to being random.
It just keeps getting dumber. One quick correction from last week. You weren't here last week, so you didn't do anything wrong.
I was going to say, how did I make a mistake without even being here?
I will now list all the mistakes that you made on last week's show that you were not on. No, this was my mistake. It came up in our Woonsocket discussion last week with me and Kevin, me and our friend Kevin, because we're talking about Woonsocket, Rhode Island, of course. And I mentioned that there was another Woonsocket, and I said I thought it was in North Dakota. I believe there was a Woonsocket, North Dakota. I was dead wrong, Cornflake. I had totally misremembered. It's South Dakota. There's a Woonsocket, South Dakota.
Because I've been to North Dakota. I would have gone out of my way to go to Woonsocket if there had been a Woonsocket in North Dakota.
But you've never been to South Dakota.
I've not.
South Dakota is the one with Mount Rushmore, right?
It is.
Yeah. So now they have two things. They've got Mount Rushmore and they have Woonsocket. I got the origin part right, though. It was indeed that a guy from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, moved out there and founded a new town, Woonsocket, South Dakota. I wonder if you could see it. If you climb up on top of Mount Rushmore and look out across the land.
I love that he didn't bother to call it New Woonsocket. Just called it Woonsocket.
This was not a necessarily creative guy, I guess. He thought, well, that's what you call a town, I guess. Unless you lucky people in South Dakota, you've got your very own Woonsocket going. I can only hope it's as goofy as Woonsocket, Rhode Island. That'll be our next road trip.
Only if it's on our way to Chicken, Alaska.
On the way to Chicken, Alaska, of course. It's a straight line. The road from here to Chicken.
Maybe the way I drive.
Goes straight through Woonsocket, South Dakota. I'm quite sure. Oh, one more thing before we leave. It's been several weeks since we did the Backs of Life.
Yeah, we do have to circle back to that.
Got to get back on the program. You know, this has been our big project for the year is we are reviewing every backdoor pilot episode of The Facts of Life, that classic 80s sitcom, because they did several backdoor pilot episodes. We are up to episode 6, I believe, of The Facts of Life, and I think we're going to do this next week. And so we like to tip people off a week in advance so that they can prepare if they like, if listeners would like to watch this episode of The Facts of Life in advance in time for next week's show. Here's your warning to get ready. And it's a little more homework this time because this is a two-parter.
Oh, are we going to cover both episodes next week?
I think we should just cover them both at the same time, you know, because Come on.
Why would we drag this out?
Yeah, okay, so here's what you want to do. We're looking for Facts of Life, Season 4, Episode 23 and 24. And the name of this two-part episode, Graduation. I can hear everybody scribbling it down right now.
That everybody you hear is me.
That was
everybody.
You. That was you. You got your Bic pen going over there. Season 4, Episodes 23 and 24, Graduation. We shall discuss next week. But for this week, Cornflake, just get us out of here.
Okay. I'm on it, Kevin. Flopcast.net is our website. Facebook.com/Flopcast. Twitter, our handle there is @Flopcast. Instagram, it's @_Flopcast. All places you can find us. Go on over to Apple Podcasts, won't you? Leave us a rating and a review there. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, we were known for our violin playing and our ballet dancing, and no one else has done anything like that ever since. Cornflake, thanks for hanging out today here on the Flopcast. Welcome back after a week off. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this very silly, random, goofy episode of the Flopcast. We'll try again next week. Meanwhile, you know, be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
For the past 12 seasons, Mike and Mike have been bringing you a weekly look at all things geek, with reviews, discussions, interviews, and topicals from across the geekosphere. Now, with geek life slowly returning to normal in 2021, join the Earth Station One crew as we look at the return of the summer movie season, preview the fall TV lineup, look at all the big conventions now happening, along with other geek topics. You can listen to Earth Station One wherever fine podcasts are found, and as always, Earth Station One is a founding member of the ESO Network.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Hello, Cornflake. Welcome to the secret after show.
After show. It's after show time.
We have a little secret after show business today, and this is in reference to a previous secret after show. I guess this would have been 2 weeks ago.
I love secret after show follow-ups.
Little follow-up. We were talking about the drinking bird.
That's right, who appeared on Ted Lasso.
You discovered the drinking bird on a recent episode of Ted Lasso. It turned out you were not aware of this. This is the classic goofy little bird that bobs up and down and drinks out of a glass of water. You were not aware that this was a thing that existed.
Right. This was completely new on me.
Until Ted Lasso. And so we got to talking about it, and I announced that we should get one. We should have our own drinking bird. Well, Cornflake, the next day, I ordered a drinking bird.
Oh.
It arrived here at the studio. I set it up. And unbeknownst to you or the listeners, the drinking bird has been our silent co-host through this entire episode. I have the drinking bird perched right beside me right now, and this thing has just been going at it, bobbing up and down, drinking from its glass of water throughout this entire Flopcast.
I love how you wasted no time, Kevin, and you made the drinking bird a reality for our show.
You have no idea how much time over the last 2 weeks I've spent just staring at this bird.
Kevin, I know you well enough to have some idea of how long you have spent staring at that bird.
I mean, I've been aware of these things being around my whole life. I remember seeing these around when I was a kid. And you just watch a bird bob up and down drinking water, and it just goes and goes forever because it's magic. It's some kind of sorcery involved, I think. But I've never actually owned one, and now I feel like this is the greatest thing I've ever had.
Who knew? All you needed in this world was a drinking bird.
It's fantastic. And you know, I've got a couple more here. I actually bought a 3-pack of drinking birds.
You bought 3?
Well, they're very reasonably priced, it turns out. I was able to order a pack of 3 drinking birds for, I think, $15. So, you know, I've got 2 of them are still just sealed up in the box. Because the first one's been just working fine.
So you've got 2 on reserve.
Yeah. So if you ever make it down to the studio again someday, I can hook you up with your own drinking bird.
Wow.
Then you can bring it back up to your remote studio.
Right, the outpost.
Where you are right now. And then we can have dueling drinking birds at each location as we record the show like this.
I don't know how we've gone this long without having that.
And you know, we're just going to be staring at our respective drinking birds through the whole show and just forget to even say anything. And there will be 0 complaints from the listeners. These birds are going to save the show.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.